Back in the 1960s, psychiatric hospitals in this country were often poorly run, filthy places. Advocates for the mentally ill started to badger authorities and succeeded in getting many of them shut down. But the advocates were less successful in their campaign to open community-based facilities. The result, American cities ended up with mentally ill people living and suffering on the streets. Today in Mexico, there's a woman leading a similar revolution against large psychiatric asylums. As NPR's Joanne Silberna reports, she is closing hospitals and making sure the mentally ill have homes to go to.
Virginia Gonzalez Torres is a 53-year-old heiress and mother of four. For 25 years, she has been confronting and facing down anyone who would neglect or abuse Mexico's mentally ill. Today she'll have to fight another battle, and it's crucial that she wins this one. Virginia stands in front of a house with a high garden wall. Dogs in the neighbor's yards alert her that people are gathering down the street. Her assistant runs a video camera. The tape shows her waiting as the crowd moves toward her. This is a working-class neighborhood in Pachuca, a town just north of Mexico City. Behind the wall is a yellow stucco house that is home to 12 people who used to be confined in a mental hospital. The neighbors don't want mentally ill people to live near them. Virginia Gonzalez Torres knows she has to keep this halfway house open. It's one of the first she's established. If she can't get such homes up and running, she knows mentally ill people will stay in squalid mental hospitals or on the streets until they die. The crowd pushes close. They want to go in. Virginia blocks their way. She says they've never broken the law. Let them live in peace. The crowd pushes the mayor forward. He says the neighbors asked me to come to see how the house is doing. Virginia tells him the people in the house aren't violent. They aren't dangerous to anyone. And she says it with utter conviction because it's something she herself had to learn many years ago.
Since I was a little girl, I was very afraid of anything that had to be with crazy people.
Virginia Gonzalez Torres was born to a very wealthy, politically connected family in Mexico City. She went to private school and led a sheltered life. Psychotic characters in movies scared Virginia so much she'd run out of the theater. Growing up, she didn't know anyone with mental illness. In her social circle, anyone like that would be spirited off to a private hospital. Then things changed.
When I was 22 years old, I have a sister. She's 6 years older, and she had her first crisis of manic depressive.
The family put her sister in a private psychiatric hospital. Virginia went to visit.
She was really out of her mind, so that put me in a situation of seeing a very loved person with a crisis. That was very hard for me to cope with.
There was still that fear of the mentally ill. Even so, Virginia visited her sister every day. As she got more comfortable with her sister and the other patients, her rebellious side came out. She snuck patients past the guards for shopping trips and visits to cafes. A doctor at the hospital noticed her interest and suggested Virginia visit a public psychiatric facility.
What I saw and what I felt was terrible. The smell was terrible. Their faces were very, with scars and things like that. The noise was terrible also. It seemed like they were like screaming, like asking for help. So I was just wanting to run away.
She ran out of the hospital, but something made her return.
You know, this is the inside voice that we all have. Or the, I don't know, maybe the soul, maybe the conscience, maybe, I don't know what, but a thing inside myself told me, you must go back. And I had this quarrel with myself, not wanting to go back. So I went back.
To that hospital, many times, and eventually to the Fernando Ocaranza Mental Hospital about an hour north of Mexico City. Ocaranza is a turreted medieval fortress that rises out of dusty fields. Until a year and a half ago, for seriously ill mental patients, it was a hellhole, virtually a prison.
It was awful. What we could see is that the food was in very bad conditions and very little food We saw men and women together very small places.
Naked, no protection from the midday sun, nothing to do, no access to a bathroom, urine and feces everywhere. To this day, Virginia remembers a patient there who said his name was Number 5. That was the number of the bed he slept in. He didn't remember his real name because no one had used it in such a long time. Virginia couldn't stand by. She started confronting politicians, lodging complaints with the National Human Rights Board. Nothing changed. Finally, she climbed over a 20-foot stone wall into Ocaranza with TV reporters from the United States and Mexico. Then she got an appointment with the new Secretary of Health, a man of wealth and position who knew her family. And the minute she walked into his office, she threatened him.
I went to see him. I told him, hey, you have a trouble. You are just getting in as a Secretary of Health, but you're in trouble.
She told him, the world is about to find out what is happening in Ocaranza.
And this is going to burn in your hands. But this is like a wave in the sea. There's two ways of taking the wave. It can drown you, or you can go with the wave. We will be very happy to welcome you, but only if you play clean. I mean, for the sake of the consumers. If you do that, okay, the wave is not going to drown you. If not, sorry, but this is coming.
Good evening, and welcome to 2020 Wednesday. Tonight, we are going to show you powerful images that have been hidden from the world until now.
Television stories in both the United States and Mexico showed the horror.
And abused, wasting away in mental hospitals just south of our border.
Everyone saw what was happening behind the stone walls. And the wave Virginia foretold hit the government. Health Secretary Jose Antonio Gonzalez Fernandez agreed to come with Virginia to Ocaranza and to bring other government officials. He called the visit very painful. He agreed that Ocaranza had to be closed. An amazing victory for Virginia.
In this work, you always work with dreams. You see things, yes, you do, but not the big stuff. And to see in Ocaranza closed and all that it meant, it's big stuff because it's the beginning of the second part of the story.
The second part of the story is finding a way for people to live on the outside. Virginia insisted that the money that had been spent on Ocaranza had to be used for homes for the patients. Those who were seriously ill would live on the hospital grounds in new villas. Others would live in communities, in neighborhoods, like this halfway house 20 minutes away in Pachuca that's threatened by protesters. The demonstrators begin to yell. They say nobody asked them for permission to put these people here. There are more than 60 people in the street now. Virginia crosses her arms and plants her feet. People in the crowd shout at her that she needs to be more respectful. Virginia asks, how can you come here uninvited and expect to see our house? The mayor breaks in saying, with all due respect. Virginia interrupts, points at him, saying, you have no respect.
Adelante, adelante.
She yells, leave, go.
Adelante, adelante.
Fuera, fuera, fuera.
She walks toward them, one step, another. Her eyes lock on one man, then on a woman. They start to back up. Arms out, she follows and herds the crowd down the street. Months have gone by since the demonstration. One of the neighbors who protested that day is Maria de los Angeles Ruiz. She stands in her tidy yard around the corner from the halfway house and explains why she was part of that crowd, how she felt about the people in the halfway house.
We didn't know their condition. My daughter and the other kids were suddenly not able to play outside because we didn't know when these people were going to attack them.
Now, with her 10-year-old daughter standing next to her, she's not afraid.
Because I know now they are people that have physical challenges, but they don't hurt anybody. They don't offend others.
Maria de los Angeles Ruiz says others in the neighborhood are more comfortable now. They've seen the residents shopping at the little corner store. They've seen one woman quietly take the bus downtown. And they haven't seen any trouble. The view from inside the garden wall of the halfway house is peaceful, too. There's a big, clean workroom at the back of the yard that's home to literacy classes for the residents. It's also where some of them, including a young woman named Carmen, paint pottery to sell through a catalog. And each week, the residents gather for their house meeting. The young woman, Carmen, is there. She is shyly sunk into the couch. Her hair frames her sun-weathered face. Carmen is 27, but she looks 40. She had 5 tough years in Ocaranza. She remembers being beaten, having all her belongings stolen. At the house meeting, Virginia Gonzalez-Torres asks Carmen how she's doing.
I'm taking all my medication, and I'm taking it every day. I feel good. I'm very happy.
One of the residents breaks in with a cheer for the house. Virginia breaks into a big smile. The cheers, Carmen, this is what she's worked so hard to achieve. Mental health experts who know the work of Virginia Gonzalez-Torres say she's taken treatment ideas pioneered in richer countries like the U.S., Italy, and Spain, and she's pushed them beyond what anyone expected was possible.
The biggest difference is the speed with which Ocaranza was closed and alternative services were opened.
Robert Okun is a psychiatrist at the University of California at San Francisco and part of an international advocacy group, Mental Disability Rights International. He says Virginia's two-step advocacy, closing hospitals and setting up halfway houses, is setting an international standard.
Mexico is not a wealthy country, and if it was able to really transform the lives of mentally disabled people in Ocaranza, then it would be much harder for other countries to plead poverty as a reason to not move forward in reforming the conditions for the mentally disabled.
When I started this 25 years ago, people ask me, don't you get frustrated? And I always answer, well, I'm going to be on this for 50 years, and that's it. Now I need like 24 years more to go.
There's much more to do. 31 psychiatric hospitals still warehouse thousands of mental patients in Mexico. And Virginia Gonzalez-Torres is getting ready to go public with videos of the squalid conditions inside 15 of those institutions. Joanne Silberner, NPR News, Pachuca, Mexico.
For more on the efforts to improve mental health facilities in Mexico, go to our website, npr.org.